Welcome, everybody, to the NFC preview show. Prior, we did the AFC over-unders, who is going to win the division, and this time you're going to get the other side, and that is the NFC. I'm Cav Manning. I am from the Lingus Mafia podcast at Lingus Mafia, and I am joined by your gambling expert and your number one source in pro wrestling, if you're into that kind of stuff. That's Mr. Billy Body.
I'm not into it at all.
Yeah.
I'm not into it at all anymore.
Yeah, so this is where we're going into a real sport. Go ahead.
It was a fucking wedding. Did you watch that wedding that was in the WhatsApp group?
Oh, God. I didn't. I mean, I saw the pictures and stuff, and I said right away, I go, well, now I have to make fun of it and bring a wrestling belt to my wedding so we could all take pictures like we're the NWO, and I'm going to spray paint LM on my belt.
It was weird because I had like aunties and uncles that were not, that had no idea what was going on, what none of this stuff meant, like why they were down on their knees with the watch, like, you know, the CM Punk entrance and everything. It was just, I was so bad. It was, I was thinking, how am I in any way linked to these people? I don't want any ties to these people
should
at all.
When I walk down the aisle, should I stop and check my watch and then yell, it's marrying time? And then walk down the aisle. Should I do that? Part of me wants to do it now. I used to do for my old YouTube show. I used to have Fausti do like Paul Heyman, and he would show me his watch, and I would look at his and go, "Oh, it's fucking showtime." So maybe I'll have to do that. Oh, and I'll have to him hand me the ring, and I'll raise it over my head like fucking Roman, and have him put his hands together over his face.
Or like I'll take your missus on in a car and like record a little video about how I already married her.
There we go. We put that on the Tron at the wedding.
Yeah, just to freak people out.
Oh my God, whole fucking bit. So football. This is a real sport that actually happens. And well, so called, it's not predetermined. But my God, there are some storybook finishes with weird shit that happens. That is unbelievable, like the Field of Dreams game this last year, where it was the White Sox walk off to win the fucking Field of Dreams and fireworks happen. And I'm like, you couldn't write this game. So this is football. Do we want to start with the NFC East, first of all, Billy?
Yeah.
I could tell you what it was last year. I have in front of me the standings for what happened last year. And now we get 17 games. And not 16. So last year it was Washington. This was the shit division. This is where, does anybody want to win? And it was Washington who went 7-9 and won the division. Then you had the Giants 6-10, the Cowboys 6-10, and the Eagles 4-11-1. What do we got for odds this year, Billy?
So the Cowboys are the favorites, 6-5. Then we've got the football team, Washington football team, 9-4. Giants 5-1 and Eagles 5-1 as well. I did finishing positions and stuff last time, so I'll do that again here. Washington second 2-1, third 3-1, fourth 16-5. Dallas Cowboys 11-5 second, 4-1 third, 8-1 fourth. Giants 3-1 second, 2-1 third, 2-1 fourth, and the Eagles are 16-5 second, 2-1 third. And 6-4 to finish bottom.
Now, what are the odds for Washington, if I want to place a bet for Washington to win this division?
Did I do that or not? I think I did that at the start. Yeah, so 6-5 Dallas and 9-4 Washington.
9-4. So what does that mean for everybody? If I were to put down money, what would I have to put down to win what?
All right, so obviously the way the fraction set out, if you put 40 down, you win 90 profit, so you get 130 back altogether. Okay. But with that particular fraction, for $100, you would win 325 of a 225 profit.
I really like that bet, to be honest with you.
Lot of people do.
Yes, I think that is not a bad one. I think they have good defense still. And I think, obviously, their quarterback situation is well better than last year, even though it's Fitzmagic. He's not the greatest in the world, but they had Haskins. was busy in there last year. And then you had Alex Smith with one leg in there last year. And then what? Heinicke was the guy who came in and almost, he was the one who took out the fucking Bucks. He was fucking great. It was like, who the fuck is this guy? So I really think with just having capable quarterback, they're the next team that needs quarterback badly. I like it as long as it's just, all you got to do is maintain it. Don't go crazy. Just like play careful football. I really think they have a very good chance of winning this. I don't think they're as sorry as sacks as they have been.
Yeah, part of the reason I agree. I mean, they're projected to be a 9-win team. They're on 8.5 is their win title. Mm-hmm. So I would say they would get to 9. It's over 8.5 is 10-11. Under 8.5 is 10-11. The Dallas Cowboys schedule is really hard. Their over under is 9.5, so it's a game more. But the under is favorite at 5-7, and the over is the underdog price at 11-10. So in a way, that could be, if that was a 50-50, that would be a flat 9. Mm-hmm. So they're valued, I think, as half a game better than the Washington football team. But they have a schedule where there's a lot of games where you're looking at Dallas and they could lose, especially if they haven't improved on the defensive end. So I think the football team is the value there. Otherwise, if you're not playing them for a little bit, I would just miss this division out. I think it's going to be really a case of everybody beating each other, and a 9-7 will win it, or even less.
Yeah, and I think obviously the Giants will be in last, and Eagles will be third place.
Really, that's not the betting order.
Really,
the order expects the Eagles. It's very, very tight, but like the Eagles are expected to be last.
Really, that Giants offensive line is horrific. The big problem I see here is Saquon Barkley coming back from the knee injury. Even though you're healthy, you're not going to be right. And the same with Dak. I think he needs to be tackled by the fucking legs a few times to really get him not fucked up. Because if your ankle's hanging off sideways, much like you, do you feel like you're, I could just, no problem? Or are you a little bit worried when you're running around or something? Or, I mean, you're probably not at that point to run around yet. But it's not going to be something where you're not thinking about it for quite a while.
I feel it. I feel it when I kick the ball or walk longer than a mile or whatever. Like, it's still, there's a element of normality to doing all the activities we do that doesn't exist during a period where you're dormant, like where you're keeping it elevated and doing the things that you want to do. Yeah. So as soon as you start to use it, there are like weird aches. Like not necessarily related to where I've broken my bones, but I'll get a pain in my heel. Mm-hmm. Just because of the heel of my foot, just because I haven't been doing anything. So, yeah, the inactivity, doesn't matter how much muscle you've got or how fit you are or how much fat you're going to lose in 2 weeks or whatever. Like, the inactivity will get you.
And it's your brain a lot of the times, too. Let's go to the NFC South. And last year, there was on the...
Sorry, did you want the other two teams' win totals, or it doesn't really matter because it's fucking... New York and the Eagles.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think we need to do that. That'll all be gone over on the Lingus Mafia podcast on Tuesday when we do everybody's win totals up and down. Let's go NFC South. There was a lot of talk last year when we were reviewing this on the Lingus Mafia. And it was, the worry for me was, I thought Tom would need a little time to gel with some people, and it proved to be the case. I thought they would win overall first place, and they did not. The Saints beat them twice, and then when it was time for the playoffs, goodbye. The Saints now have, as I like to say, Jameis Winston. He's the starter now, and maybe Sean Payton gets him right, which would be great for the Saints because they go from a Hall of Fame player who was heart and soul to another very good player as long as he's not throwing all the picks. However,
was he though?
What's that? Was he very good? He had like, what was it?
No, Breeze. Has Breeze been the heart and soul for the last couple of years?
I still think he was the leader though. I still think like leader-wise and brain-wise, that was still working over the strength of arm. The correct decisions still, just a matter of being able to execute it with, you know, a weaker arm. That could be the issue that happened at the end, like most people except for Tom. When you get older, things change. Tom doesn't seem to care. But the... He was always there, and he was MVP before, all that stuff. So he was very capable, and you say, okay, I have a fucking capable quarterback. He doesn't have to throw fucking 50-yard touchdowns. He could do 20-yarders, you know, shit like that, and be fine. And now you have Sheamus, who has an arm now. So this is going to open a top, at least. But you're now lacking the brain of Drew Brees and decision-making. So if Sean Payton can get that right, he'll be much better. Everybody.
I've always felt like I've not always felt like, but I felt like at least in the last couple of years that Alvin Kamara has been the more important player as yes. they've changed the way they play.
Yeah, Kamara is a monster, and I wanted to get him in the damn fantasy league, and I wasn't able to because I was eighth pick. So the Buccaneers, who are bringing back basically everybody to make another run. So last year the Saints went 12-4. The Bucs were 11-5. Then you had the Panthers 5-11 and the Falcons 4-12. The Falcons have lost Julio Jones, which does them no favors. Matt Ryan is getting older, which is doing them no favors. The Panthers got Sam Darnold, which is well worth a try because I think it's the Jets that ruined him more than anything else. With no offensive line and running for your life and no weapons, I think that did him a disservice. So I think the Panthers will benefit from having him. It's a matter of getting him out of what he is used to with running for your life. And you know, he almost has to be retrained. Like if you're a wrestler that goes to a wrong school, you got to retrain yourself. So what is the odds for this division?
Yeah. So the Bucs are favorites, obviously. They're 1-2 favorites. So you'd have to put 200 on to win 100. Mm. So it's -200 US odds. Saints 3-1, Falcons 8-1, Panthers 11-1. The finishing positions for Saints would after that is second 13-8, third 9-4, and fourth 7-2. Falcons finishing positions are 5-2 second, 17-10 third, and 9-5 fourth. So they're expected that they'll narrowly finish inside one of the bottom two places, but the gap between 2, 3, and 4 is not very wide there. The Buccaneers are 11-4 to finish second, 10-1 third, and 33-1 fourth. And the Carolina Panthers are 4-1 second, 2-1 third, and 10-11 on
last
finishing fourth. Sorry, yeah, last
now,
place.
Now, do you have them the way I do, where it's Bucks, Saints, Panthers, Falcons?
Bucks, Saints, Panthers. Why do you have... No, I don't have Falcons bottom. Why? What's the reason behind that?
Matt Ryan getting older and them losing Julio Jones. I don't see... They didn't get anything. They didn't... they didn't improve. I think they got worse. So... And they only won... they were 4-12 last year. The Panthers got a fucking... a new quarterback that's... I mean... He was on the Jets. That's all we have to see from. But I don't think he was as bad as we think from watching on the Jets. So I don't see the Falcons doing much at all. They're one of the best receivers in all football left with a quarterback now that's getting older. And they had a hard time last year where a lot of those games were games they won and lost at the end, if you recall. So they probably yeah. should have won at least 6, 7 maybe. And they blew a few of those. One was to the Bears, one was to the fucking Cowboys.
After losing the Super Bowl the way you did, like mm-hmm. that would be scarred into the fabric of your that should be scarred yeah. into the fabric of your team to not go through that ever again. But
I think it's one of those things that it creeps in their head like crazy. Like soon as they're ahead, I think they play tight. I think they are panicked while they play. And then soon as a touchdown is scored, they start to sweat and go, oh, fuck. Is this happening again? And that's what I think happens with them. So you're taking the Falcons to finish ahead of the Panthers.
Yeah, I think the Panthers will finish bottom.
Okay. Let's go to our division. That is the NFC North.
Did you want the, sorry, just again, do you want the totals in that for some of them?
Sure, if you want to.
Yeah, well, Panthers over under is 7.5. Mm-hmm. Falcons is 7.5 as well. So there's no separating the two. If you look at the main two,
Well, it's a good improvement for both of them, to tell you the truth. 3 wins for Falcons and 2 more wins for Panthers. So, I mean, like we said, Falcons probably won more last year than is in their record because they fucked up the ending. So it's not crazy that, well, having Julio Jones go away is a fucking, that fucking is tough, man. That's real fucking tough.
The Saints are only at 8.5, so and the unders, the underdog price here. So I feel that I would take that up to 9. I could go under 9 and I'd get my money back if they win 9. And if they go 8, if they win 8-8. Yeah, because they're not, I don't think they're competing for this division. I'm very surprised to see the Bucks price. If you're given the second favorite here, New Orleans is 8.5. The Bucks win total is 3 games higher, and they're actually favorites to beat it as well. Over is 4-6, and the under is 6-5. So they're very much expected to get 12 wins, which will be well clear in this division. So taking that 1-2 actually has like some value because there's no one else that's going to win this division, I don't think.
No. Unless everybody, I mean, you're barring injury, of course, and that changes everything. So, NFC North, last year, the Packers were 13-3, easily running away with the division. And in second place, the Bears with 8-8. And then the Vikings, who were supposed to, they were leading the money line to be first place. And Billy was actually having a hard time picking who would win that division, which is funny now looking back at it. You go, geez, that was easy, though. So, the Vikings were 7-9. And then the Lions, of course, rebuilding since 1956, were 5-11. And will be even worse this year, by the way. So, with Rodgers having his farewell tour, this is basically either win it all, your last chance with the Packers, it doesn't matter, win, lose, he's out of there afterwards. He's angry. The only thing that could possibly save him to stay there is if they do win it and he has that feel good, well, I'm happy now, we finally won. Or is that the, I've won again, now I really don't have to be here. I've won here twice, I could go away. You never know how which way, because it's like, well, did they win their ring and now they're playing for money? You don't know which way they go. The Bears, they have a new quarterback, but they have horrible coaching, and they have one of the hardest schedules in all of football. So I'm way down on them this year, and I'm not even going to be bothered by them losing every game practically because I'm very much expecting it. So when you expect it, it's not a big deal. When you're expecting someone to be good and they're horrible, that's when you get pissed off. The Vikings, I think they should be better than they were last year, and I think a lot of the problem, too, is that Cousins will not get vaccinated. Because when it comes down to million-dollar players and your job is paying you millions of dollars, these are guys who tear their meniscus, and the doctor says, I could cut it out, and you could be back in a week. Or I could sew it up, and you'd be back in 6. And your future life will be a little bit better because there won't be arthritis. They tell them, cut that fucking shit out. Get back on the field. They got to make money. This is the same thing. Get the fucking shot so you can get the fuck on the field, because now they have such strict rules. If you are near somebody, this, that, and the other thing, you have to then sit around for 5 fucking days. As a quarterback, that's a big fucking problem. So when people are betting money and go, oh, this is a shoo-in, and then they go, oh, he walked next to somebody. Now you're not playing? And you have fucking Kellen Mond in there instead? This is that's a bit, exactly. That's their backup. So this is the problem. And then they'll lose the fucking game. So it turns into, it's a business proposition instead of a health determination. If I'm getting paid $10 million, whatever you want me to do, I'm doing. I don't give a fuck. So, and also his teammates are going to look at him like, you motherfucker, you cost us because you don't fucking play. Unless it's a nighttime game, then he should sit out anyway. So that'd be fine. The Lions, they have Jared Goff now. Jesus Christ. They won 5 games with Stafford, who's very, very good. And now they have Goff. 2 games it is. What are the odds here, Billy, on these games?
On the games, or you mean the outright markets for the...
Yeah, for division winnings and all this, yes.
Yeah, Packers are the favorites. Mm-hmm. They were at 4-5. I'm just trying to get this new price up for the North. Yeah, Packers is still 4-5. Vikings 5-2. Mm-hmm. Bears 4-1. And the Lions 20-1. Vikings second 7-4. Third 12-5. Fourth 13-2. Then the Packers 2-1. Second, third 4-1. And fourth 10-1. And then you got Bears 2-1. Second, 2-1. Third, 7-2. Fourth. And then the Lions 8-1 second, 11-4 third, and 4-9. That's a very, very strong price to finish bottom, which I think they will do.
What is the over under for Packers and Bears? Because I think the Bears one is a real good fucking bet.
The Bears one is bag on 7.5.
I mean free money. I think this is you cash your house to say under. I said 5 wins, and that 5th win was you would have to bite somebody to get the win. So it was you're beating the Bengals, you're beating Detroit twice, you are beating the Giants. And then after that is all fucking tough ones. And I'm like, maybe they get the Cardinals. That was like the least of it. Maybe perhaps Minnesota, because they play Minnesota tight. I don't see, there's nothing. They're playing like Baltimore. They're playing Pittsburgh. They're playing Cleveland. Seven and a half is
holding as the win total. I was very much thinking that would be under.
Oh God, it's going to be so under. I wouldn't even think twice. The only factor could be, is if Justin Fields gets in the game and he does like magic to win by himself. But the line is so bad. I mean, it is horrific. They have no left tackle. So they got Jason Peters, who was in retirement, a Hall of Famer guy. However, he's 39 and he's 100 pounds overweight. This is what they have for their tackle. They're dead. They're absolutely, this is why I don't mind Justin Fields not playing. I don't need him in there to get fucking killed. Fuck that. Let Dalton get fucking killed because the week one against the Rams is going to be fucking ugly. And everyone gets to watch it because it's on Sunday night. It's going to be horrific. So I wouldn't doubt if Fields gets in that game due to injury early. Because Dalton's not running around. That's the only benefit Justin Fields gives you. He has to run around, so they have to defend the run or him throwing. They don't know what he's going to do. He's not a standstill quarterback. That's the only advantage. But I'm not upset if they lose a lot of games, because that means the coach and the GM should get fired, which I'm fine with at this point.
Well, it's a difficult schedule for them and for Minnesota. Minnesota is not difficult in terms of the teams, but in terms of the way it's laid out, like their bye is negated by the other team also coming off a bye. Mm. And they play the most teams after a bye as well. So, I mean, there's loads of things. There's I had a graph for it, but I was putting up my reasoning for why Green Bay win this division, but it was largely down to
the schedules.
Yeah, well, there's that, but there's the schedule and the scheduling. And I mean, Minnesota should be due to improve this year, but I just don't think it's going to be enough to make a difference.
What's the over under for the Lions?
Did I give the over-unders for the other ones?
No.
Apart from the Bears?
Mm-mm.
All right. This is not as organized as last week's.
Well, if everybody wants to hear like in-depth craziness, and it's going to be at least a 3-hour show, tune into the Lingus Mafia podcast on Tuesday. That will be on all platforms. It'll be on this Dirty Sheets. It will be on Podcast on a Poll, and it will be on Lingus Mafia. So that'll be free for everybody all at the same time on Tuesday. And Billy will be going over all the betting as well on that show.
So Vikings are narrowly favorites at 4-6 to get over 8.5 wins, with the underdog price of 6-5 to go under 8.5 wins. So their projection would be about 9. Mm-hmm. Detroit is very low. I'm just trying to dig it up.
See, that's going to be hard. If they say 4, that's going to be a real tough one.
It's 4.5.
Yeah, you know, I might even say under then. They have a new coach, but I don't care who the fuck is. Belichick could coach this team. It don't matter. It's fucking terrible. They don't have anything. It's a bad fucking team. This is a start-over team again. I really don't know how fucking they're going to do anything. I'll even look up. Let's see what the fuck their schedule, who they have. Do you have their schedule in front of you by chance? Or should I look it up here? Lions.
Hold on.
Schedule.
Fuck's sake. My phone did that thing where you go out of one window to open up a site and it goes back to the last time you used that.
I gotcha. All right. I got it here. So let's see.
New tab.
So here's what happens.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
I do. It goes to the, yeah, I've totally had that with the tab thing. I have it where I click something and it flips everything.
You put a website in and you put a website in a new window, but you already have that website open on another tab.
Uh-huh.
So it goes to the tab, which is like 65 tabs away from the one you're using, where you just want everything close together.
Yeah.
But it's like it's doing you a favor. It's like, hey, you've got this website open somewhere else. So it's like it fucking goes to it.
So
who are we looking for?
Well, here? I got it here. The Lions play the 49ers the first week. And then they play the Packers. And then they play the Ravens. Then they play the Bears, the Vikings. Now they play the Bengals. And I think the Bengals are better. They play then the Rams, the Eagles, the Steelers, the Browns, the Bears, the Vikings, the Broncos, but it's in Bronco, the Cardinals, the Falcons, the Seahawks, and the Packers.
And the total is 5 or 5.5.
Yeah.
At your place.
Yeah, there's no way. It has to be under. I mean,
it does, but apparently this team, you know, Goff's better than people think. And there's, mm-hmm. I'm not saying what I think. I'm saying what they're saying. They're saying Goff's looking better than people would expect. And they're going to try and establish a running game this year, which is something they haven't done for a while. So I don't know. Like, it's a low total, but as you're going for a game-to-game situation, each week you're going to be looking at individual games and you're going to be thinking they lose here and they're probably giving up a lot of points in all of these games. So
yeah,
it will be easy to pick up these losses, and suddenly if you're 1-6, 1-7, you're wondering why you didn't take the total. Once these teams get towards the latter part of the season, you'll be kicking yourself for not taking a total if they've only got 2 wins. You know, it's always a good situation to be in where with 3 or 4 games left, a team needs to be doubling their win total because they need to go on such a good run.
Yeah, it's real rough where the only things I even see here is with Falcons, Broncos, and possibly Bengals. Everything else is very, very fucking, I don't see anything else, and those are even difficult, because I think those teams are even better than the Lions. Really, the Lions could go 1 win or no wins, to be honest with you. So,
I would say, yeah, I'm not buying into that running game and Goff and all of that. I do think they'll finish in bottom. I'm just trying to make a case for everybody, but I mean, for me, it's all about up the top, and it's not just about winning this division, because I think that should happen automatically given the schedules of the other two teams. I think it's a somewhat of a transitional year for the Bears as well in terms of what they're doing with their quarterback situation, mm-hmm. in terms of not actually knowing 100% if the one they start with is going to be. In fact, I think it's the opposite. I think they do 100% know the one they're starting with isn't going to be the guy who's playing. The guy in week 1 isn't going to be playing in week 10, week 11. It's going to be starting with one guy and bringing in another. Like, Dalton's going to clearly start
Yes.
So they're a mess. Minnesota, as I was mentioning, their scheduling is very, very bad with the bye weeks and the rest disparity and everything like that. So for these reasons, Packers should win also because they're the best team. But for me, it's not about that. It's about being above the win total so that we can secure a good seeding. Because if we're seeded behind the Bucks, and when I look at the Bucks over under, I think they'll go well over it. I think it was 12.5, I believe. Did I give it out?
I don't think you did. No.
Okay. I think they'll go well over that. For me, it's difficult to see the Bucks losing a game. So
yeah,
we're already in a situation where I don't think we'll be the number one, but we at least want to be the number two so we get some home games.
Yeah, I think you're safe with. Well, you know what? Well, that depends on this next division, actually, and that is the NFC West. Last year, the Seahawks went 12-4, and the Rams went 10-6. The Cardinals were 8-8, and the 49ers were 6-10. However, that was due to everyone on that team being injured. So that is not, they're improving. That was everyone was dead on that team. So now the team is fully back, and this should be a very tough division. It's going to be a logjam at the top, and the way I think it's going to be is, God, it is really a toss-up for me with Rams and 49ers. Now with the Rams having Stafford, I think that really changes shit a lot. It's a matter of, like Tom last year, having to just get right with them.
For anyone that's interested, the Bucks was the Bucks was bang on 12.
Okay.
The total, and the Packers is only 10.5.
Oh shit! The Packers one's gonna be a good one too. There's some really good ones in here. I think the Seahawks are gonna go third place, but that does not mean that they're going to have a low total. I think this division beats up on each other a lot because then you have the Cardinals who take another step too. This whole entire division, the softer of all the teams is the Cardinals, and I don't think that's a fucking garbage team.
No, but I think something has to give here because everybody has these high win totals here. You've got the 49ers at 10.5. You have Seattle at 9.5. I believe it's 8.5 for Arizona, if I remember correctly. Yeah, 8.5 for me. That goes under. And who else do we have? LA, the team I think will actually win this division. Where are they? That's the Chargers. Sorry, they're at 10.5.
Okay. I was looking at to see where the fuck, like, Larry Fitzgerald, I don't think is signed still. And they're talking about maybe the 49ers getting Fitzgerald, which is very interesting. I can't believe
the 49ers are the narrow favorites to win this division. They're 7-4 to win the division, and it's 9-5 on the Rams, 3-1 on the Seahawks, and 6-1 on the Cardinals. The second, third, fourth place thing. Rams are 2-1 second, 3-1 third, 4-1 fourth. So it's easy to remember. 49ers are 9-4 second, 10-3 third, 5-1 fourth. Seattle are 11-4 second, 2-1 third, 9-4 fourth. And Cardinals are narrowly expected to finish bottom. They're 7-2 for second place, 9-4 for third, and bottom is 6-5.
So the Larry Fitzgerald hasn't signed anywhere yet, but the 49ers are looking at him, apparently. I'm shocked if he's not signed somewhere anytime soon. I mean, he's not. It's not like he fell off. God, that division is going to be something to watch. The 49er thing, you know, Garoppolo can't stay fucking healthy if his life fucking depended on it. And then you have Trey Lance, who you don't know what you have. That's the big X factor. So that only that reason I'm going with the Rams going in first place here, and then followed by the 49ers, followed by the Seahawks, and then the Cardinals.
Well, this is a thing, right? If you look at last year, it wasn't a good season for the Rams, but they had the number one scoring defense. So this defense can play.
Mm-hmm.
And you add Stafford to that. He only needs to minorly be a minor upgrade on Goff, which he isn't. He's a major upgrade on Goff. But he needs to only be a minor upgrade on Goff for them to be a lot better. So I think if you factor in, obviously life, sport, everything doesn't work out like that. But if you factor in that theory and say, oh, they're really good defense and they're a really bad offense. I can't remember exactly where they ranked offensively. I actually made some notes on this, which I'll dig up. But yeah, I mean, their offense was really, really bad. I'm talking way in the bottom third of the league. So if they bring it up, if they become a top 10 offense, then this could be not just the team that like wins this division. Yeah, they'd go to Super Bowl. The things that's going to cost all these teams Super Bowls is that Packers and Bucks are in positions to secure one and two, especially the Bucks. So you're looking at these teams
because they beat each other up. That's the problem. Yeah, there. Yeah,
exactly. As a result of their own division having to get some shit done on the road. So
yeah, that's where it's going to hurt because the Packers have, I think, a cakewalk to their first place, and I think the Bucks pretty much have cakewalk to their first place. They don't have to their own divisions or whatever for them. But this division, their is a offense was killer. Ranked.
Their offense is ranked 22nd last year in the league in scoring.
Yeah, and we know Stafford. That fucker was. You imagine if Stafford was on a good team all those fucking years and not on the Lions, the fucker would throw for a shit ton, and they'd still lose fucking every game. So that tells you something. So when he's on this Rams team with a real fucking team around him. The only thing that's going to hold him back, I think, if anything, it's a slow start. But he does like a Tom, I think. You get to know your people. And then eventually, you start to go. And, it just takes them a while. It's not a video game. You can't just put somebody on a team and they know the playbook and they're good to go. So, that's how I'm going to go. What are the over-unders for them?
Yeah, well, for this division, I already did them.
I think you did the odds for finishing places.
No, we definitely did them. I said Arizona 8.5. We did them.
Okay,
we
I was looking at the schedule at the time. I think then.
Seattle was 9.5. San Francisco was 10.5. The Rams, I believe, was also. It's 10. The Rams is 10. Depends where you get it. I think I've changed books here. And Arizona is 8.5, and that's my favorite. My favorite bet is for Arizona to go under, but I also like Seattle to go. I don't see Seattle dropping enough that they won't have double-digit wins. So I think they'll go over 9.5, but I don't think Arizona will be better than 8-8. I don't think they go over 500.
Okay.
I just feel that they're just going to be – there's too many losses here in the actual division. For them to, they are the worst team in the division, and they may win a couple of these games at home. I see them going like 2-4 in their own division. So you take them 4 losses in your division. There's only you only need 4 more for this to go under across the rest of the board. So yeah, that's what I think will happen.
So to wrap up with the NFC altogether, do you believe then? Are we both in agreement? The Bucs are the number one seed.
The Bucs are the number one seed because I looked through the schedule and we kind of touched on this on the last show. We touched on the AFC show while Cam Newton was still in the AFC.
Yeah.
If you remember.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that affects anything we said. I guess there's no point addressing it because we have a whole nother show to do anyway.
Yeah.
We don't want to go back to stuff here. We can start fresh on your platform. But so the opener is on Thursday where they'll beat the Cowboys. They'll just score too many points, beat the Falcons at home. And we said this before. I remember we categorically said the Rams game is difficult because we think the Rams are going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think it comes too early for the Rams in this point of the season. I think there was going to be a clicking period. I think if they had an easy schedule to start with, you could look at the Bucks week 7-8. I don't think you want the Bucks in September. So I think this is favorable to the Bucks to go 3-0. I think just because of sentiments, I don't like the Bucks going to the if you're looking at a team going 17-0, going to New England is tricky when you have that Belichick versus Tom situation. Mm-hmm. But if you navigate through weeks 3 and 4, if they come away 4-0, that's the tricky period. I genuinely think they could go 17-0 because they're not losing at home to the Dolphins, they're not losing at the Eagles, they're not losing at home to the Bears, they're not losing at this Saints team with this quarterback. It's quarterback issues that they've got at the moment and trying to find themselves. Washington on the road is a more difficult game than you think. Like, it was difficult for them in the playoffs last year. Then Bucks at home. Giants at home, sorry. Colts away. But I don't know what Colts are going to be at that point. Yeah. I don't know if...
Wentz is broken by then.
Yeah, I imagine by the end of November, he's playing from what he has now, but then still... you could get injured again. Then away to the Falcons, home to the Bills. The Bills, I think, are stronger at home, so I think the Bucks will win. Home to the Saints, away to Panthers, away to Jets, and at home to Panthers. It's a minimum of like 15-2, 14-3. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Green Bay are going to have that record. I think they'll be maybe 12-5, something along those lines, where... Yeah, it's enough to comfortably be in the playoffs, but just the Tampa Bay schedule is so hard to find two games you're going to lose. You're sitting there making a case for them, for New England to want to get revenge against them just because Tom Brady took to play somewhere else. I don't even think that's a revenge situation. I mean, Belichick doesn't want to lose to Tom, but you know that's not a particularly difficult game, especially when you look at the quarterback situation where Cam's been like. Cam's been moved on, moved out.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to do our Pick'em show on Wednesday. That will be on this platform of the Dirty Sheets, where we do our picks against the spread as we do every year, and that's where we'll give. We're going to give our predictions on the Lingus Mafia show tomorrow. When it comes to who will be in the Super Bowl and who we pick to win. But we will also, if you don't hear it from there, we will also give that prediction before the first games and with our picks. So,
do you have a lock on this show?
There's a couple, to tell you the truth.
I'm gonna go for Green Bay to win the North of 4-5. I think it returns good enough odds for me to take it. It's like £80 profit off 100. I think that's decent for Green Bay mm-hmm. to win this division. But you do your couple.
I have there's the three that are a guarantee for me. Is the Bucks winning their division? The Packers.
Well, that's very short odds. Yeah. But yeah,
and hell, I would parlay it. I would say for the Bears to be under and the Lions to be under. All three.
I think the Bears offer up enough value at 7.5. You can buy alternative line values, and I think the Bears, I have them under 6.5 as well. So that's where the real value comes in, because it moves the price. Like, you're getting 10 to 11, 50-50. And then suddenly, like, to lose one more game, they become 2-1 to go mm-hmm. under 6.5.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's easy to see them having a 6-9. Is it 6-9 now, isn't it? No, it's not. What am I doing? 6-11.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. 6-9. 6-11 season. It's easy for me to see that.
I can't even see that. To tell you the truth, it's very, very difficult to see that, because when you know your team a little bit better, you know, it's one of those, like, I listen constantly and I hear the people talking about it and all that. So I have, just knowing the offensive line, that's the biggest nightmare here. So that's what I would take them to be under, and I would take the Lions to be under, because that is going to be very rough. It probably doesn't even matter if you add the Bucks to be first place in there. I don't think it changes your bet really much for the better. Maybe you win $2 more, but that's the easiest of all of them. So,
For adding the Bucks to what, sorry?
Into that parlay. You say the Bucks to win the division and the Bears to be under the win total and the Lions to be under
the Bucks
total.
Add a lot. The Bucks add a lot. They're not like, they're 1-2. They're not they're 1 to 2. They're not like 1 to 200 or 1 to 20. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, I mean, for every $200 you put on the Bucks individually, if you put 200 on the Bucks, you win 100. So it's relatively decent. You have to put down twice as much as you're going to win. Yeah. But you know, they're not losing this division. The Saints are in a in a transitional year, and there's no one else in there that's that competent. Like Atalanta are doing whatever they're doing this season. So you have two teams who are essentially having a rebuild. I'm not even sure that Atlanta Falcons are. I think they're in between. They're still trying to get what they can out of Matt Ryan. Jones is gone, but then obviously no one's seeing them going through to even the playoffs right now. So it's a weird year for teams like that. It's a weird year in this division. It's really set up well for the Bucks to win every game in their division. They should be coming out of this division with 6 wins. I can't make a case for why they don't.
Yeah, so I think that's the way to go. So where would we go to get all of your official betting packages for the season?
Yeah, so my betting packages are available at lockbetting.com. Everything is tracked and transparent. We're going for our 100th month of profit this month. Last month, I'm just trying to find out what we did. I know we did 73.2%, which is one of the highest winning months. We only won £1,482, which is about $2,000. But it was the pure blackness on the spreadsheet because we did it with much less bets. So this month, there's everything. There's NFL, there's the US Open tennis, the soccer season comes back. So far this month, we are up £783. So we're well on course to have 100 months in a row. So if you want to get all my futures plays, over, unders, divisional plays, everything, then sign up to lockbetting.com. This also gets you all the other sports as well.
So tune in on Tuesday to either Podcast on a Pole, the Dirty Sheets podcast, or the Lingus Mafia podcast, and you will get
the
entire rundown of all NFL. And I'm sure it'll be over 3 hours like it was last time, where we told Billy, you'll be on the show for an hour, and it went into the next day for him. So we'll try not to kill him this time.
Also, on this feed, before Thursday at some point, we will be posting week one.
I would say it would be Wednesday. That's what I was what I said earlier. Yeah. Wednesday will be up there, so you'll be able to get your our picks in, and you'll hear us our picks against the spread. So, all right, everybody, we will see you tomorrow for Mr. Billy Body. I'm Cav Manning, and we're out of time.
He could go all the way.